Frog and Cheetah is my life's work and my life's insurance.
Hello and welcome to the Frog and Cheetah, an aspirational Brokenwood mystery podcast where dreams come true. Peter Jackson, go eat rocks, you union-busting bitch. My name is Amelia.
I'm Rebecca. I wasn't expecting this political podcast role.
I'm going in today because we are talking about The Black Widower, Season 3, Episode 1, original air date, October 31st, 2016.
Scary.
It's the Halloween special.
Can you have a Halloween special of a murder show? I mean, they didn't make it special for it.
You can if you feature an evil thing in spider form, the last child of Ungoliant to trouble the unhappy world. Living high in the FL Duath Mountains on the border of Mordor.
Is this from something or are you just vibing?
Her exact size is not stated, but she is significantly larger than her descendants. Same.
Her descendants? You don't even need descendants. Piggy.
I was starting to prepare some spider puns.
Okay.
You know, the episode had caught me in its web, you know, that kind of stuff. God. And then I was like, is there even a spider in Lord of the Rings?
And then I don't know.
It's called Shelob.
Is it now?
and some of the categories on the Wikipedia page, not the like... No, this isn't like the Tolkienpedia or whatever bullshit. This is on normal, real Wikipedia.
Normiepedia.
We've got perversion of body, unlike Saruman's perversion of mind. We've got a heading, Satan's daughter, sin. And my personal favorite, 3.4 under analysis, sexual monster.
Oh, yeah. Is that with James and James?
my favorite Chloe Sevigny movie. Further information, sexuality in The Lord of the Rings.
I didn't know there was sexuality in Lord of the Rings. I mean, I've seen part of the Fellowship of the Ring. I was taken to see it after school when I was year 5 when it came out, and I fell asleep. That's my relationship with Lord of the Rings.
I mean, we can't just spend this whole episode reading out this Wikipedia page, but it does have a list of symbols according to Brenda Partridge's analysis of Shelob's sexual imagery.
I'm surprised you didn't save this for Logs On.
I literally found it 5 minutes ago.
Oh, okay.
The underground lair is the womb. The tunnels to the lair are the female sexual orifice, which they've put in inverted commas. The cobwebs are pubic hair.
None of this is in the episode.
Not on the surface, but I think maybe if we follow Partridge, we can gain something from there. Apparently it's all something to do with Paradise Lost. Anyway, this is the Lord of the Rings episode of Brokenwood that we're going to talk about today. If you hadn't gathered that. It's about Lord of the Rings and it's about spiders.
And it's about horses. And it's about kind of the difference between the cultural norms between countries.
Yes. I think, yeah, we're going to have to talk about that, aren't we?
Yes. No. Yeah, not right now, though. Not yet. Not for a long time. Not for a goddamn hour and a half at this rate. This many notes.
We'll talk about it right at the end. Okay.
Should we get
stuck in? Jared's a horse man. Sorry, I'm just going through my notes.
Yeah, don't skip ahead.
Okay.
The listeners
forget what you
need
heard
some,
about Jared
the
being
listeners
a horseman.
Need a little bit of build up before they find out that Jared's a horseman now.
All right, shoot.
By shoot, do you mean opening shot?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Opening shot. Forest. Sign that says private access. Do not enter. No unauthorized vehicles. No horses. By order of permit holder. $1,000 fine. Broken Wood Council.
Sick. Okay,
next part. No comment. No comment from Amelia.
I'm sorry, I saw something else on the
window. Oh my god.
I'll close it.
It's going to be 110 minutes of you just not listening to me.
I thought the opening shot was like, honestly, I saw that it was about like horse riding bands and I immediately was like, oh, I don't care about this.
Amelia discriminating against the horse girls.
I'm just not rural, you know?
City gal. On the shore where there are no horse girls. Okay.
Exactly.
Next bit. Ray's tours. Lord of the Rings with a Z van tour at some kind of Christmas tree farm. The van of tourists gets out to take a photo of a hanging canvas of Schloss Neuschwanstein in Bavaria. Which Ray...
Oh, is that what that
yeah,
is?
Yeah, I've been there.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I've been there when I was 16 years old. And all the jokes we made. Which Ray says is Rivendell.
I think you'll find he says that it's Rivendella.
Does he?
Yes.
This is before I got the subtitles. This has been a tough week of torrenting.
I've written down their fake Lord of the Rings names, yeah. And the first one is Rivendell.
Oh, good, because I didn't write them down. When they said Helm's Deep, I was like, ugh.
No, it's Helmet's Deep.
Helms. The tourists say they're just on the tour for the lunch. Ray promises there's going to be giant spiders. Two of the guys from the Broken Wood Theatre Company, who we find out later is Billy and Nigel, I think.
Billy, who we have met before.
Billy, who we've met before. They do some LARPing. All the tourists take photos except one skeptical European one who just asks for the lunch.
He doesn't know how to play the game.
He doesn't know how to play the game.
Yeah.
And Ray says, satisfied customers, you should try it sometime. Which is definitely what you should say if someone's like complaining about your service.
Yes. 100%.
Why don't you try being a satisfied customer?
We should note that this is Ray, the publican of the Frog and Cheetah. He's a familiar face. He's kind of pleasantly grumpy, you know.
A quad bike comes racing towards the tour van. Ray jumps out and takes some photos of the person, says gotcha, and nothing to worry about, just a black rider. Which, I like, have you ever heard this phrase, black rider, before?
It's from Lord of the Rings.
Is it?
Yes.
Is it actually? For fuck's sake. Because, Amelia, in Germany, a black rider is somebody who rides the train without paying the fare.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's what they call the Nazgul.
Uh-huh.
You know, the guys in there.
No, I don't know anything. I know nothing about Lord of the Rings.
I am so sorry that I have to be the Lord of the Rings expert because
you were you were always going to be. Right?
Yeah, like I'm not that much of a nerd, but I am that much of a nerd, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm not a specific Lord of the Rings nerd, but I've just kind of, like, I'm such a loser that I've sucked it all up by kind of, like, just being close, you know?
Yeah, okay. For me, a black rider is when...
Is someone who illegally catches the train.
How can you get damit? Muss schwarzfahren. Yeah, that's what it is.
I wonder what they called the Nazgul in the German dub. spooky horseman.
Probably. I have a lot to say about the German language and people in this episode, actually, because of Hans Ziegler. The tour enters Merkelwood. and
nailed it.
The European man is not impressed. The LARPers ask for a volunteer to demonstrate how Bilbo Baggins was attacked by the spider. A woman steps forward and a giant spider comes down from the trees. The LARPer says, a lurker weird... Oh, because Billy Franks has, like, an extreme Southland accent.
And it was about here, well, over there, actually, that Bilbo Baggins encountered the giant spider. Can I have a volunteer to see if, in fact, that spider still lurks here in Mirklewood?
I don't know if I can try it right now, but the R's are very different from how we say them up here.
You can build up to it.
Yeah, I'm going
to
build up to it. Okay, everyone screams and takes photos. Then the woman screams again because there's a corpse on the ground wrapped in spider webs. Ray says, that's just my wife, Debbie. She's the brains of the operation. Everyone wave. But Debbie doesn't wave back because she's dead.
Because she's dead.
She's dead.
Can I take this opportunity to just read it one more quote about Shelob as we move on to real spiders for the rest of the episode and not the big fake spider?
Yeah.
Tolkien. Sorry, I'll do a voice. This is the scholar of religion, Alison Milbank. Tolkien offers a most convincing Freudian vagina dentata, toothed vagina, in the ancient and disgustingly gustatory spider, Shelob.
Remember when we watched Teeth, the movie, at your mum's house?
Yes, I do remember.
She was like, what are you two up to?
That's what Alison Milbank is talking about. Shelob symbolizes an ancient maternal power that swallows up masculine identity and autonomy, threatening a castrating hold, which is precisely what the sexual fetishist fears and seeks to control.
Imagine if you did an audition for Radio New Zealand and you did this voice.
I should be the person who reads out the books. I'd be so great at it.
Oh, I know. Oh, I mean, we can't get into this now, my relationship with the fucking books on RNZ.
The scholar of children's literature, Zoe Jax. I'd be great. I'd be so good.
We would all be good, but you're not allowed to be good. You have to be how they want you to be.
Don't know. We love our national broadcaster. We love our broadcaster. Title screen.
And the money they may have paid us for the radio adaptation that they never ended up doing. Okay.
Big rap.
Mike, Kristen, and Breen are on the scene in the forest. Mike is back talking to the corpse, asks Debbie if she saw something very frightening. Breen is scared of spiders. Ray says that Debbie must have gone into a diabetic coma. This is the first time someone says diabetic coma in this episode, and it goes on thousandfold. without taking her insulin, Mike asks if he saw her take it this morning, and he says, it's not something we do together. The customers start complaining about how they paid for a lunch. Ray gets the LARPers to drive them to the Frog and Cheetah for burgers, chips, and a London Pride sausage.
Someone also, when they're talking about the diabetic coma, either I've totally lost it.
Yeah, which is possible.
Someone uses the phrase, the sword of diabetes.
It was always the sword of Damocles hanging over her. We used to joke about it. The sword of diabetes.
I don't remember that. But again, this is pre my new torrent with the subtitles.
Your what?
My legal DVD.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, not everyone, but the cops are like, are you sure you're okay, Ray? Your wife just died. And he says, I'm a businessman. New scene. Mike calls the head office to ask about the boss's wife, Linda. The boss says, lay off, haven't you had enough wives? Linda is...
And they talk about Mike's wine. So he has...
Yeah.
Because we had a whole season shit all about the wine.
Yeah, and then the guy was like, oh, thanks for the rosé. And Mike's like, it was a Merlot.
It's always a Merlot.
It's always a Merlot. That's the one thing we know to be sure. to be certain of in Brokenwood. Okay, Linda's also diabetic. Mike asks if she'd ever been in a diabetic coma. The boss says almost, and if he hadn't jabbed her in time, he would have been a widower and pretty bloody sad about it.
True.
Nigel Medlock and Billy Franks, the LARPers, have been interviewed. They say Debbie was a great boss and totally the best. She was always planted in her Velcro web suit before the tourists got there. It might have been that she couldn't reach her insulin because the web was too tight. Breen is annoyed about this all turning out to be a workplace accident.
Breen, I feel like Breen's got a real push-pull in his life between, like, part of him just wants to be doing, like, writing up tickets and finding cats up trees and stuff.
But he also doesn't want to do that. He wants to see a grisly murder.
He just doesn't... yeah. Just not with the spider.
Yeah. Mike goes to see Gina. Gina says Debbie's eyelids are unusually swollen, as if by venom. And it could have been a poisonous golden dart frog. Then, a massive spider crawls out of Debbie's mouth. Mike says it's a katipo, and he is the first person in this episode to try and say katipo, and he's the best at it.
He is so the best, and it immediately cuts to Kristen saying it. Mike's like, yeah, they think it was like a katipo, and Kristen is like, a katipo. It's like, oh, no.
Mike's like, Kristen, what do you know about katipo? And she's like, oh, katipos? Yeah, not much, Mike.
Yeah, I don't know, bloody scary little things creeping around the beach, little scary. For our overseas listeners, a katipo is like a New Zealand beach spider, and they're extremely endangered, and they're like the only kind of venomous spider in the country.
Yeah, that's not Australian.
I've never seen one.
I've never seen one either. I think I might have seen one like at the museum. Like, you know.
Oh, I've seen one at the museum.
No, I mean like a live one. You know how they have like...
Yeah.
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 But I haven't seen one just walking about in a coastal area.
No, although people... You see them in children's books. They're always hiding under bloody driftwood.
I've never read a book where a katipo was hiding under some driftwood. That never happened in my brown bear Barney.
I'll find you one.
Grandpa's slippers. Harry McLeary.
Spot gets attacked by a katipo.
Mr. Katipo. Okay, there's no bite mark. There's a lot of rigor mortis. Mike keeps asking about a diabetic coma, but Gina's like, oh, I don't know about that. Here we go. Mike calls Kristen to ask what she knows about katipo.
Mike!
What do you know about the katipo?
The catapult spider.
Cannot say it. She says there's a PhD student studying them at Brokenwood Beach and sends Breen to deal with it.
I'm glad that she knows that straight off.
Yeah. She just
saves us a lot of running around. Yeah.
Kristen and Mike go down to the frog and cheetah. There are signs everywhere saying, follow your thirst.
And we get to meet Trudy for the first time.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so there's an angry replacement bartender, Ray's sister Trudy from Riverstone, who won't give them any info. She says she's given Ray a Valium. And also, interestingly, you could see the prices of the menu at the Frog and Cheetah. Fish and chips, $6. Shepherd's pie, $6.50.
They're killing it. I love the frog.
And I'm pretty sure it says kids' meals.
Take me back.
I'm pretty sure it says kids' meals $4.
I bet the kids' meals like rat's ass though.
Yeah, like Ray doesn't care about children and their dietary needs.
It's probably like a wet chicken nugget.
Oh, yuck. Okay, Ray is out the back. He's on the phone and he's mad at someone about his... Oh, he's mad at someone about who they let come on his tour because he only accepts people who don't speak English.
Yes. He's very upset that the German guy is
there. German guy came on the tour and he could speak English, so he can complain. Ray's drinking whiskey. He says it's fine because it's not every day your wife dies. Mike says Debbie could have been killed by a spider. And Ray says, what? A katipo? Then insists there was no bite marks
If there was no bite mark, then you can't prove it. There was no spider. Ray and Debbie had been fighting that morning about the business. He was sleeping in the office at the Frog and Cheetah. They were rivals with other tour companies, and he says he's got to deal with the evening rush because life goes on.
And he's doing some negotiations with Damo from Real Cheap Cars.
Oh, God.
I feel really bad for Ray here. And I feel like Mike should be more sympathetic.
Because his wife also died.
Because, yeah, his wife's died heaps. Or at least one time.
Yeah, it's just
Fern,
the one time.
Like, brings up a Kristen, number of times Fern. In this episode. Oh, sorry, I was looking at the IMDb.
Oh, my God. All this searching. You need a mic set up like mine so that you can't move.
I need to be blinkered like a naughty horse.
This is the Black Beauty podcast. Okay, Kristen asks Mike what Ray meant when he said, "You fight, they die." Mike says that's a normal thing that everyone says. Kristen says, "Is that what happened when your wife drowned?" Mike says, "No, he was lucky." That's a fucked up little scene.
Yeah, because she's like, oh, because she talked to you after she was dead.
Yeah, that's later. They talk about this like three times.
I've written in my notes, fuck up, Kirsten.
Kristen, Breen goes up to a house and asks a white man if he's Chandra Singh. He's not. He's Dr. Byron Cotter, shark scientist. Chandra,
Byron is a wild character.
Yeah, he's a wild character. There's a
really interesting, like, disconnect between the way that he's written and the way that he's performed. Because all the writing is very like, sup brah, like, it's like real like surfer dude talk.
Yeah.
But the guy, they have cast a guy who would be a shark scientist. So he's like, oh yeah, brah, sup brah. I'm just, do I look like Chandra Singh? Nah, brah.
I left a bunch of messages, but she never returned my call.
Don't take it personally, bro. She never answers her phone. Too busy out in the field with her eight-legged friends. That's her jag.
You're a spider expert too?
No, no, no way, man, no. Lesbobrancology is my thing.
Okay.
I'm just going to go down and catch some waves, Broseph.
It's not as bad as you're making it out to be. But it is very like, yeah, what's your name? DC Breen, yeah, bro. Catch ya. I'm a scientist. Where was I up to? Chandra is his fiance and an arachnid scientist. Brian says, bro, I thought his name was Brian at the beginning. He knows all 35 sharks at Bethel's Beach, Brokenwood Beach, by name. He says, they're not my subjects, dude. They're my friends.
That's beautiful.
Chandra is looking under a bit of driftwood for a katipor. A horse rider comes past and she loses it and throws a stick at them and has a breakdown for about 4 seconds. The horses are destroying the katipor habitat.
True. There's a lot of real real ecological anger behind this episode, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, there's there's a lot going on in this episode. The person who wrote the script had a lot of ideas. They had just read a local newspaper, I imagine.
They had just read a number of local newspapers, yeah. I think. As we will see as we move on.
Yeah, okay. Well, we need to get on.
Okay. We go to the lab.
Okay, yep. Chandra takes Breen to a spider lab in a shed. She says milking the spiders for venom funds her research, which I immediately was like, why is she funding her own research? It doesn't come up for like an hour.
Yeah, and also I feel like that's got to make it really hard to, like, publish, you know?
Yeah, if you were, like, who are you in association with? No one. Like, well, she's a PhD student, but how is she an unfunded PhD student? What's going on?
I mean, honestly, the universities are pretty rough. I could see them doing something like that. She couldn't live on her stipend with these waterfront rents.
But she has no stipend.
Well,
it's all a mess at Brokenwood University.
At Brokenwood U.
I guess it's probably Riverstone University. Breen looks at a spider through a microscope and passes out.
The lab looks really fake, I just wanted to say.
Oh, it doesn't look like a lab. It looks like a garage.
It has a lot of empty jars that have that are backlit with neon panels.
Yeah, it looks like
much more like a kind of a rec room. It's like it's got a kind of a man cave vibe with all these like little neons illuminating kind of like mason jars. Not even a
good man cave. Yeah, they are like mason jars.
It's very buzzy, but I mean, do spiders got to be hot? Do you have to heat a spider?
No.
Okay, that's fine.
There's a lot of fog in this episode. Did you notice?
No, I didn't notice. Oh, okay.
There's like every time there's a scene outdoors that's not at Brokenwood Beach, it's extremely foggy.
Have you seen Phantom Thread?
Yes.
That's a fucking smoky movie.
Yeah, that's a smoky movie.
I read
a fucking smoke machine next to you.
I read an interview with the cinematographer, and he was like, "You were going like blah blah blah, talking about all the lenses they used." And
dry
he was
ice. Like,
"We used a whole lot of smoke. I think there's like a little bit too much in some of the scenes. Kind of looks like there are some untended fires."
Yeah.
It really changed my kind of... It's hard to watch it when you, start thinking about this.
Yeah, spot. I'm glad that I didn't notice it at the time I saw it. I saw it at the Rialto Cinema in Newmarket.
Oh, those were the days.
Yeah, those were the days. Like, all the... I mean, I don't want to get into it, but, like, all that stuff seems so crazy now.
What? Leaving the house?
Yeah. Just being, like, met up with a couple of pals... Not even, like, your best friends. Just some friends.
Just some, yeah.
And just heading out to Rialto and grabbing some food. And you don't, like, talk to each other. Like, this is the last time you'll ever see each other. You're not making the most of every moment. You're just like, I might go. I'm kind of tired.
I hate making the most of every moment.
It's stressful.
Ah.
Like, every time I see someone, I'm feeling like, how long have we got?
Me sweating in the post office, like, this could be my last outing.
This could be my, I feel like every if I go outside, you know, maybe like 2 days a week, I'm just looking at all the people being like, which one of you is going to be the one to give it to me?
Like, do it.
Come on. What are you made out of? Antibodies. Okay, back at the station, Kristen is bullying Breen about passing out. Chandra told him a cuttipaw wouldn't have been venomous enough to kill someone, and they don't live in forests. A normal cop says, "Senior, Mr. Ziegler, here for a word." And this is the German tourist. Hans Ziegler wants to lay a complaint about Ray's tours. He's seen the DVD of Lord of the Rings, and it wasn't like that. He also says that there were too many motorbikes. Kristen and Mike go to talk to LARP and Nigel about the motorbikes on the extremely foggy street.
While he's cleaning a window. I want to know about Hans Ziegler.
Hmm.
That he says that that hamburgers are invented in Hamburg.
This is no fun. The lunch was not what was promised. They gave us burgers.
You don't like burgers?
Why would I travel halfway around the world to eat burgers? They were invented in Germany.
Not America.
Nine. Hamburg, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I used to live in Hamburg, and I don't think that's true.
It's not. It's definitely not true. Yeah. It's really not true.
It's not. Sorry, Hans. And Hans is, like, not very good at being German. Firstly, he's wearing a Kathmandu jacket. And not a Jack Wolfskin. And a lot of, and we'll get into it later, but a lot of the stuff he says, I'm like, that's not right. Like, they need a German expert on set to get these things right.
Mike and Kristen go to meet Lance Gifford at Giffy's Off-Road Tours. He says he would have loved to have been blashing through the forest yesterday, but someone put sugar in all his quad bike's petrol tanks and that it would have been Ray Nielsen who did it. He isn't allowed in the forest because he doesn't have a permit. They ask if he's heard that Debbie's dead, and he says, oh, well, it wouldn't have been me. Once again, great reaction to finding out that someone's dead. Every single week, everyone in this town.
Couldn't be me, sis.
Yeah, exactly. It couldn't be me. Did you hear that this person has died? Oh, well, it wasn't me.
Everyone hated them, though. I need you to know that.
Mike asks if there are any other tour operators who feel the same way about Ray's tours, and Gifford says that he just sticks to himself, which is a fucking lie. Mike points out a huge poster behind him for Brokenwood Horse Tricks. Which I have written down the details.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Nicole. Oh, yeah. That's right.
The poster says, guided horse riding tours through Broken Woods Forest. Broken Space Woods trail riding at it, apostrophe S, best. And it has a pull quote, wonderful great horses, full of beans and stamina. And a fantastic journey. Quote, tourist. Full of beans and stamina.
Thank God someone's doing a podcast about Brokenwood. I feel like otherwise that information would have been lost.
It would have been lost. Especially because it's so hard to get a bloody legal DVD of this episode. Full of a horse. Full of beans and stamina. Is that what you want in a horse? On a guided horse trick?
Yeah, I feel like a guided horse trick, I feel like it ought to be a bit more low-key, you know?
Yeah, be like a great day out for...
Really pushing the horse to its limits. Yeah, we want doing the beep test on the horse.
We want something like, it was a great day out for all the family. Horses were gentle and friendly.
Yeah. Fuck beans.
Fuck stamina. What the fuck are you doing to a tourist? Mike drops Kristen off at the station. He says happy horses and him don't go in the same sentence. She asks why he said that he was lucky the day his wife drowned.
Stop, Kristen.
Oh my God.
Stop. It's so bad.
It's like, you know, when someone finds out that you're an oppressed person and they keep asking you about it. It's like that. I assume you have this experience.
When do you stop being trans and you just start being a normal woman?
So what do your grandparents think about you being gay? Someone offered me a ride and then I got in the car and they said that to me at uni.
Really?
Yeah. And then she was like, and what do you think about that Taylor Swift song? You know, that like, it's okay to be me one. Not any of the good ones.
I've just come across a YouTuber, Amelia, that I think you would be really into.
Oh my God.
Have you heard about ContraPoints?
Have you heard about PewDiePie, Amelia?
have you heard of this ContraPoints
person? My God.
Have you heard about this?
Amelia, have you heard of these top twins? It's a bit of you.
You ever seen Priscilla Collins? Jesus.
Have you ever heard of Grant Robertson?
I've just
he's shacked up with a fella.
My wife's been watching this TV show. I think you'd get a real kick out of.
It's Country Calendar.
It's called Rupple's Drag Race.
It's called Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
It's called Euphoria.
Oh, my wife's been watching Euphoria. Okay. Mike says that he was lucky the day that his wife died because she contacted him, so he felt lucky. Kristen says after she was dead, Mike says yes and drives off. And Amelia
Did you notice that there's a mistake in this scene?
No.
It's really good. I've taken some screenshots. So Kristen is like talking to Mike like through the open window of his car. And then she takes a step back so that he can drive off. And then as he's like backing out, another Kristen is in the distance walking the other way.
Oh, wow. Spooky.
It's very spooky. I mean,
we could still find out that she has a twin.
Who's like wearing the same outfit.
I like that this episode is going back. It is going back into Mike talking to corpses.
Yeah, I thought that you would like that.
Because Kristen is obviously thinks that this is what Mike means by his wife. And also at the start, she's like, when you talk to the corpse, there was a pause and then you nodded. And he's like, oh, that's weird because she didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Raz.
Yes.
Oh, actually, no. I'll wait until we hear about diabetic comas again.
Okay. Are you going to ask me if I have diabetes? Because I don't.
Have you heard about gay diabetes?
Mike arrives at Nicole Day's house tricks, and Jared is there, shoveling shit.
Jared's a horseman.
He says he has a soft spot for horses. Nicole says shame about Debbie, and she has to exercise these horses right now, so Mike better hop on.
Well, they're full of beans.
And stamina. On the horses on the beach... Nicole says people who go on horse treks don't want to go on tacky hobbit tours anyway. Then she gets a text, whispers something to Mike's horse, and rides off, leaving him on a horse on the beach. Mike says, giddy up. This is a fucked up scene.
Is this the scene with Gina?
No. I just meant this scene where Mike is suddenly riding a white horse down a fucking beach.
I really liked it.
I liked it too, and I took lots of great screenshots, but it was also fucked up.
What, that he just gets left there?
Yeah.
Poor Mike. Country living is not all that he thought it was going to be.
Kristen gets a call from Gina about the toxicology report. Gina is furious to talk to her and not Mike.
Okay.
Mike.
That must have been why I have a note that just says Gina.
Mike can't make the horse move. Jared shows up galloping along on a white horse.
It's an incredible scene.
Someone presumed to be Lance Gifford blats past on a quad bike. Jared says Nicole got a tour booking. That's why she had to leave. So weird that she doesn't say anything to Mike when she leaves him there on the horse.
She's a very odd character.
Yeah, but she's like not an odd actor. She's like a normal actor that's in heaps of stuff.
Yeah, but her whole character in this episode is like being a bit of a weirdo, being a bit in a very normal, obtuse way.
Ray's tours is shutting down, so she is allowed to take tours in the forest again. Kristen calls and says Debbie died of 10 times the lethal dose of spider venom.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. Kristen and Mike are at the spider lab. Kristen thinks the spiders are hot. She gets quite gay about it, I wrote. Do you remember this?
With the spiders.
Yeah, Kristen's like looking at the spiders.
I wrote Kristen is hot for spiders.
I mean, I'm glad we wrote the same thing. She's just looking at these spiders and being like, spiders are an animal where the female is so much bigger than the male.
Oh my god. That's stunning. I'm glad you think so. Most people have an irrational response.
Ah, I always thought they were beautiful.
The thing I like most is, unlike birds, in arachnids, the female...
The female is the bigger and more beautiful of the sexes.
Oh, it is quite gay. I hadn't thought of it. I thought of it as more of kind of a dom thing.
Oh, yeah, possibly. It comes across very gay to me.
How is it? How do your grandparents feel about you being gay for spiders?
Who? I don't know. Do you have any grandparents? No.
No.
Yeah, I've got one. Don't really talk about that kind of thing. You know what it's like? I mean, if you're like 30 and you still have grandparents, if you see them, you kind of go over and be like, ah, hello, ah, yeah, oh, this COVID, oh, yeah. Oh, no, I don't hate Jacinda. Okay, anyway.
You're not like, oh, I'm... am I pan or am I bi? Chandra is weird about the spiders. She says she can't...
There's no conspiracy.
She says that she can't identify them from photos. She only knows them by their personalities. She says she has 15 spiders in the lab and 142 outside. Kristen points out that there are only 14. And she says, oh, well, Amber and Tara often go walkabout.
Yeah, I love that she's like, oh, they're just on walkies.
She says she only has one vial of venom and it takes weeks to fill one up. But labs like hers because it's free-range venom. Mm. Byron comes back from surfing outside. He says he's actually scared of spiders and shows Mike and Kristen a photo of a shark on his camera. Next,
it's my friend.
Next scene, everyone recaps at the station. And then Mike goes to meet the LARPers at the forest. Billy Franks and Nigel Medlock explain that Debbie played the corpse to give extra value for money on the tour and that the giant spider scene... After the giant spider scene, she would take the tourists off down the glade to wine and dine them with a crap meal.
Yeah. Ray... Well, very intrigued. I feel like maybe we should put a pin in lunch.
Put a pin in lunch. Ray thought it was wrong to serve them that crap.
You can't keep serving them this crap.
They've paid for it, Ray.
I find it so hard to take Ray seriously because I mainly think of the actor as being the guy from cult late night New Zealand comedy program Late Night Big Breakfast. And so I just keep picturing him in the Mount Eden Target car park crashing his car into things.
I see. Mike tries on the spiderweb suit. Amazing images. And finds that he can't get out. He goes back to the station and tells others that once Debbie was in the suit, she was a sitting duck. Billy and Nigel also said they usually put Debbie in the suit, but that morning Ray did it because Debbie was in a rush to get to a hair appointment. Kristen goes down the... this is when I started saying goes down all the time. Kristen goes down the Frog and Cheetah to get a statement off Ray, who's been hiding. He says he has to go down the council to sort out Gifford's permit issue, and now he and Nicole can have the forest because he's shutting up shop with Ray's tours. Kristen asks if he's making amends for putting sugar in Gifford's quad bikes, and he says he would never do that. And it's bloody libelous, he says. He says, that's bloody libelous. Not a phrase I've ever heard anyone say.
I feel like in New Zealand, you can get away with saying quite a lot. We don't have very strong libel laws.
No, we don't. And no one knows any of the laws.
No, it's not like in England where you can get done for like blasphemy still.
And it's not like America where you can sue individuals.
Yeah.
And
you can pretty much do whatever the fuck you want. Get done for
jaywalking and there's like bail bond people. We don't have all of that. We don't know what the law... Like, every second person you meet has a law degree, but no one knows any of the laws. They just say, oh, torts was really hard.
Oh, I never want to hear about fucking torts again. Please move on. I'm doing torts this semester, so it's...
So, yeah, I don't know if I'll be able to make the birthday. I don't want you there anyway, you stupid bitch.
I'll buy a tort from the cheesecake shop.
But we have we'll tort in laughing Germany. Then. Ray says he'll come down to make his statement after he goes to the council. He drives off and Trudy says he wouldn't have done it, but Debbie would have.
Yeah. Because she's a ruthless cow.
Mike talks to Gina, and Gina realizes one of the injection sites in Debbie's body isn't consistent with her insulin needle. Someone deduces the killer must have known she was diabetic. Oh, okay, yeah, it's a different scene. It was Kristen. And Kushler. Fucking Kushler. Has put woman killed by spider bite on the front of the Brokenwood Courier.
I'm glad that Koshla's back.
We don't see her, but she's back.
We don't see her. I think she shows up eventually.
Oh, she was there last week.
How much
remember she was like, Koshla Norman, Broken Word Courier. Has the musician died?
She's quickly becoming one of my favorite characters. Move over, Jared.
Where is it? Oh, Chandra is also diabetic, and so she has access to needles. Gifford and...
Okay, wait, I'm going to bring in... So there's one review of this on IMDb.
And is it from an expert on diabetes?
Yes, 4 out of 10 stars, a poorly researched episode. Without going into details of the plot, this was one of the most poorly... Should I do more of a voice?
Yeah, do more. I want more.
Without going into details of the plot, this was one of the most poorly researched television episodes I have ever seen. What I am referring to is the ridiculous portrayal of type 1 diabetes in the episode, in which the disease was diagnosed in the exact opposite of its actual characteristics. The reference in the episode was to a diabetic coma, a condition of diabetes that only occurs if the diabetic does not receive a daily dose of insulin. However, such a coma does not occur immediately. In fact, lack of insulin in a diabetic usually takes about a week to manifest itself and is usually characterized by extreme thirst before the eventual coma kicks in. The writers of this episode obviously confused a diabetic coma with a diabetic reaction, a condition resulting from too high an insulin level. Given how common the disease is, I'm surprised no one in the cast or crew corrected this glaring error.
I don't blame the cast.
Imagine if someone from the crew, imagine if the gaffer was like, Hey, I don't know if this is strictly how diabetic comas work.
Koshla is like, hey guys, I know I'm not actually in this episode, but my uncle has diabetes.
I think the other thing is that no one actually has a diabetic coma in this episode. We found out that they she died from spiders.
Yeah.
So, whatever. But I thought we should address some of the
elephant in the room, the 4-star review on IMDb.
Yeah. 4 out of 8 people found it useful. So
how? Who are these 8? The hateful 8.
This episode's also been put on a list called Film/TV. Arachnophobes beware.
Oh my
there
god.
Are films, you know, like, TV programs where anyone with a fear of spiders, whether mild to severe, needs to be warned of the appearance of these arachnids. Yikes.
You know how there's that thing titles. Called Does the Dog Die?
Yeah.
I just can't. Sorry if I'm alienating our listeners, but I cannot imagine being upset to see a dog die in a movie enough to create a platform, a database.
Oh, Raz, they changed. That's not what the website is.
Is it?
That was what originally was.
That's what it originally was, and now it has, like, other triggers.
Yeah, but there wasn't enough dogs. It was too, yeah. They couldn't, it was
they're
too
like,
boring
Lassie,
the website. So they,
the one with Jennifer Aniston and Owen Wilson, whatever that's called. What's that called?
Marley and Me.
Jennifer Aniston and Owen Wilson and Milo and Otis.
I'd watch it.
Oh my god. Oh
but
god.
I do quite like the idea of a meme page that was just like worked so poorly that they just had to turn it into something useful.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, this joke doesn't have legs. We better turn this into a pretty decent service for people.
Yeah. Gifford and Ray are arguing in the Frog and Cheetah. Ray didn't go down the council and sign the permit. because he's mad about Gifford's accusation about the sugar in the petrol tanks. He makes Gifford call Kristen and say he doesn't know... He makes him call Kristen and says he doesn't actually definitely know that it was Ray.
And that's enough for libel. Yeah,
and that's enough. Ray signs the permit and Gifford says, what really killed Debbie is your mean attitudes. He and Ray start brawling. Trudy smashes a glass bottle against the bar and holds it up to him and tells him to back off.
I actually feel quite bad for Ray because it does really feel like he was kind of just brought down by his terrible wife.
Yeah. He's only trying to run like a semi-sham to a company.
Yeah, he's like not that kind of scumbag. He's like a different kind. Yeah. He's like a more low-key kind of scumbag.
When Trudy smashed that bottle on the bar.
Yes.
Was that necessary?
You snapped your fingers and you were like, yas, queen.
No, I did not snap my fingers and say yas, queen. I thought it was a lot. And there was like not much of like a reaction to it.
I'm a big Trudy fan.
Yeah, I was a really big Trudy fan in the later seasons, but I didn't know that she was Ray's sister.
Oh, I'm so excited for you to go through the Trudy origin. Okay. A lot happens to Trudy.
I can imagine. Mike and Breen go down the forest and find quad bike tracks and a huge pile of horse shit by the crime scene. Mike makes Breen pick it up. Gifford comes blatting past on a quad bike tour and Breen falls over. Great scene. What's funny about that scene is that they're like, okay, like, let's go down to the forest and see if we can, like, find anything. And then they take, like, two steps and there's, like, quad bike tracks and this, like, huge pile of horse shit.
And they're both so pleased to find them, though. Yeah. They're like
oh, yeah.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Oh, get a specimen bag, Breen. A bigger one than that.
Pop the champagne, Breen. Job's done. Sussed it. Nailed it.
Mike and Gina are down by the river at a restaurant. Gina is dressed up Russianly. And then I was like, oh my god. I mean, I don't want to get into it, but it's been wild how much the layman in New Zealand has been trying to kind of cancel all Russian people.
Oh, I forgot about that even happening.
I saw Gina like dressed up with her blonde hair and her like puffer vest and her like really big handbag and was like, you know, some people in our country are gonna see this. Oh, well, they're not, but they could have, and be like, oh no, that's not allowed, this shouldn't be on TV.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the fault of people like Gina.
No, you know? It's not the what Putin does is not the fault of Gina Kadinsky.
That is the strong position of the Frog and Cheetah podcast. Yeah. She is not her father's keeper.
She's not in her father's den.
There are no angels at her table.
Mike says he wanted to meet off-site to give her something. It's the bag of horse shit. Mike, this is horse shit. He says he thought that she was so good at her job, she could probably figure out the age of the horse shit as well. She says, ah, so it's a compliment.
Kiwi man, you are strangely romantic.
Romantic?
I'll get to work.
Mike about to die.
I am so excited for this because...
This is the beginning.
This
is the beginning of the rest of your life.
Because, like... So I didn't start watching Broken Wood at the start.
Yeah.
I started with the most recent season.
As did
I. Came out like a year ago. And so I was like, oh, Gina's got the hots for Mike. And that's like her thing.
Yeah. But and then we didn't see that. So like, should I like tell the origin story? I lived in Wellington for 2 years and then I had to move and I got priced out. As many people have of that stupid city. It's like $300 a week for a room in a flat. And so I had to move back to Auckland to live with my mum. And then the thing about mums is that they watch TV.
Terrestrial television.
They watch terrestrial television. And then so Broken Wood came on and I was like, what is this? And then my mom was like, how can you not know Broken Wood? Everyone knows Broken Wood. Your grand's in like three different episodes.
And then I watched a whole episode. It was the episode with the wellness retreat. And I messaged Amelia and I said, you got to see this.
Yeah.
And this is how it all started.
And then I did see it.
Thank you, Housing Market.
And then me and my girlfriend got so into it that we watched the whole thing.
So fast.
Over the course of like 2 weeks.
Yeah. Because then we started getting locked down all the time as well.
Yeah. So we had a lot of, like, we watched all of the Star Wars films.
Mm.
Except Maddie refused to watch the third prequel movie.
What's the third prequel movie?
Is it The Clone Wars?
No, that's the second. Oh, I know what it is. It's the one where...
Revenge of the Sith.
It's the one where...
I have the higher ground.
It's the one where Queen Amidala dies of a broken heart.
I was really, honestly, and this is going to alienate some of the fans. I know that there's been a real attempt in the last few years to, like, rehabilitate the reputation of the prequels.
Mm.
I didn't like it.
I think for me, it's just better if the prequels stay in the past. Like, I saw them when they came out when I was between 8 and 13 years old.
Yeah, I thought they were sick as when they came out.
I thought they were cool.
Apart from when I went to see Revenge of the Sith at the cinema.
Oh, this is a great story.
With who I thought was my friend, Adam. And then... This was literally a friendship-ending act. And then at school on Monday, Adam told everyone that I had passed out. I fainted when Darth Vader appeared because I was so scared. And, I mean, you know me. I was already getting bullied at school, so that did not help.
Yeah.
And I was just like, hey, fuck you, man. And we never hung out ever again.
What you? Oh, that was year 9, eh?
I hope you're enjoying being an actor, Adam.
Is he an actor? Is he in Brokenwood?
I actually don't know. We kind of drifted apart. I hope he's doing all right. I'm sure he's not. How old would I have been? 14. Oh, the worst age.
Yeah, I was...
I'm sure he's real chill. A chill guy now.
I wasn't really getting bullied in year 9. But I wasn't...
Well, fucking la-dee-da.
But I wasn't in. And you know why I wasn't in?
Too tall.
Because I didn't watch The OC.
Oh, true. I've been watching that lately. It's pretty good.
I was a fucked up 13-year-old. I was watching HR Puff and stuff.
Oh, extremely good. Lidsville?
Oh, amazing. And I was really into Futurama.
That's you're such a nerd, Rez.
King of the Hill. Imagine like going into like a year 9 girls class and being like, oh man, did you guys see King of the Hill on C4 last night? So funny.
Dusty old bones full of green dust. Okay, what happens in this show?
Such an amazing satire of just the middle class in Texas. Chandra comes down to the station and she's mad about the Brokenwood Courier article. It's the slogan of the Brokenwood Courier. Brokenwood's best newspaper. She demands police protection for the Katipo. Kirsten and Brain say it's not really possible, sorry. Mike goes to see Gifford. Nicole is just blatting off on her horse, even though he said he sticks to himself. Gifford is a dick. He won't say if he was in the forest that day or if the quad bike tracks are his. He says, everyone has a quad bike. Farmers, surf lifesavers, everyone. Put a pin in it. At the time, I thought that's a fucking stupid thing to say, but Hans Ziegler comes back to the station and he...
I want to see the ginger man.
Yeah, he insists on speaking to the ginger man, but...
I want to see the ginger man.
He's very busy right now, sir.
And then there was another thing I was like, they don't have that. They don't have that in German. They don't have ginger man. They don't have catchy words like that.
What do you mean? What?
I mean, like, they would be like, oh, der Mann mit dem roten Haar. Like, not...
Oh.
Ginger is not a hair colour.
I thought he was making a reference to...
The gingerbread man.
No, the novel. The 1955 novel by J.P. Don Levy.
Breen says they can't uphold his complaint against the tour because he's
I'm so sorry.
He spoke to Buchanan, as we all know, is the town lawyer. And it was legal because it was called a Lord of the Rings tour with a Z. And getting a burger instead of a soup is not a legitimate legal matter. Siegler says, what do you call this Mickey Mouse house of a town? And Breen says, it's called Brokenwood.
Do you think, I was thinking, should we replace the little clip that we have at the end? Or do you think it should, with that?
Yes, because I think that's so. Good. That was really good.
That's better than, what are you even doing in Brokenwood?
Yeah, I want that one, and I want the Frog and Cheater as my life's work.
Where do you want that? At the start?
Yeah.
Instead of the country music?
Okay. We'll figure something out.
All right.
And also, again, I was like, this is so strange to make someone who speaks English as an additional language say, what do you call this Mickey Mouse house of a town? It's weird.
I mean, he has the vibe of a guy who's been living in, like, maybe, like, Levin or something for, like, 30 years. Yeah. But has just, like, kept his accent.
He's kept an accent. I don't think...
Maybe he was just there for the soup. I don't think
it was a very good accent. And also, like, when we find out about the soup, I'm like, why would that guy be interested in that soup?
He could be one of those people who wants to try all of the...
Yeah, you're right.
Put a pin in it.
Kristen goes to...
You'll figure it out soon.
Kristen goes to find Ray. Trudy says he's at church. Trudy didn't know Debbie was a diabetic.
Is the church called St. Jude's or St. Judas?
I think it's called St. Judas.
Which church? St. Judas on Dumfries Rise.
Me too.
Which but is I thought that wild. Can't be correct. Yeah. Ray's liquor license is suspended for fighting the inspector, which was huge fisheries officer vibes. That, like, anytime...
The license inspector is an uptight moron.
Anytime, like, anyone tries to carry out... the inspection role in Brokenwood, someone will just try and beat them up.
I know, especially like, I mean, honestly, it seems like liquor license inspectors are a bit more, oh wait, not liquor license inspectors. What license is this?
Yeah, liquor license.
Who inspects the, oh yeah. Oh, I'm so tired, Raz.
It's been a hard week.
You thought, my audio interface broke.
You thought you had COVID. You had that unexpected flat inspection.
Yeah, because my land agent was in ISO, so he couldn't do all his, like... Yeah, so that's why it was, like, weird last minute.
Okay.
He was extremely apologetic.
Okay, that's...
And he kept saying, thanks for looking after the house after he saw it. Thanks. Shout out, Jonathan, if you're listening.
And I've just been... harassed in the media a little bit.
Yeah.
Which has been, like, I can say it on the podcast, it has been so horrible. I've just been having not a good time.
You're under a big public microscope.
I'm under a big public microscope, and you know what? I don't have the right personality for it.
You honestly don't.
I don't. I'm like... I mean, I've had this personality my whole life.
Yeah, but you mostly keep yourself to yourself.
I mostly keep myself to myself. But if someone pushes me, I will joke about it online. I've got a lot of mentions.
I feel like liquor license inspectors. Yeah. They've got a lot more to look at than fisheries inspectors. If you know, you know.
Like, there's a lot more bars
boxes
than
to tick.
Yeah.
But even in the one bar, it's like you've got to check if this is next to this and if this signage is this. It's not just being like, oh, you've got an extra... what's the name of a shellfish? Fuck. That snap is too small.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. Too many power.
There you go.
Kristen finds Ray with Reverend Green at the church. St. Judas. The Reverend says he heard it was a spider bite, and Ray says, no, it wasn't. It was a diabetic coma. He says the Lord of the Rings tour was... Kristen, like, kind of mentions that the Lord of the Rings tour was a bit dodgy, and the Reverend says that it was fine because Christ wasn't born on the 25th of December either.
I quite liked that.
Yeah.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong. Interesting inclusion in the script, but he's not wrong. Ray finally goes down the station. He tries to show the photos he took of Gifford blatting away on his quad bike the day of the murder, but he accidentally took a bunch of selfies instead. He says that the camera is bung. He keeps insisting that Debbie was universally liked. And she definitely died of a diabetic coma. He says that the toxicology report is just one opinion. Which is too true. It's too topical. It's too topical, Amelia. He also brings up that they were getting threatening notes saying what you're doing in the forest is immoral. They had he and Debbie had no life insurance because the Frog and Cheetah was his life's work and his life's insurance.
Yes, and then it gets pointed out that it was in Debbie's name, right?
Mm. Yeah.
So he does inherit his life's insurance.
He inherits his own life's work. Gina comes down and says she enjoyed her unusual task. And the horse shit,
you challenged me,
was 48 to 72 hours old. Mike goes to see Nicole. She says she hasn't been to the forest for ages. She's never even seen the giant spider. And then she accidentally admits that she has seen the spider and it sucks. She also has big needles on hand. She has to go because Hans Tigler is here to do a horse tour. Even though she said that no one likes Lord of the Rings and horses. Jared says Nicole wasn't there on the morning of the crime. He was holding down the fort. Mrs. Marlowe turns up.
This is incredible.
This is a great scene. She's just on the street outside the station holding this bouquet. They're of red and black flowers for Ray. And she says, masculine, aren't they? Breen says, could be a little insensitive to give him flowers the colour of a cuttypaw that just killed his wife. Mrs. Marlowe...
Breen's okay at saying it.
Yeah. Mrs. Marlowe says it's best to get these things out in the open and a little bit of what hurts you does you good. Just like...
Here are the dog.
Vaccinations.
Just like vaccinations.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first. She says it's a real shame because Ray's first wife went the same way. Ray comes back down the station.
I can't believe his first wife died of spider bite.
I could not believe it. This was like 2 a.m. by the time I got up to this point. Because, you know, when you take the notes, it takes like hours. And I couldn't believe it. His first wife, Lara, was killed by a spider bite to the face on their OE in Brazil. Trudy does some victim blaming and says she was the one who wanted to go to the Amazon. Ray wanted to go to Rio. Ray knows all the stuff about spider bites. I thought that was... It was really surprising because I've never heard of anyone going on an OE to Brazil from New Zealand.
My sister did.
Did she?
Yeah. I can't believe you know her birthday now because of the show, but you didn't know that she went to Brazil.
No.
We had a Brazilian homestay student.
Okay.
And she went to go hang out with him.
You have to.
But she couldn't deal with the late bedtimes and the like late diet.
I can. You know, it's the life for me. I love being in...
You're like, steak at 10 p.m.
That's me. Yeah. This is my lifestyle.
Why is it taking so long for Breen to translate these TripAdvisor
reviews? I didn't put that in because it was boring. But Breen's task this like whole episode has been to translate the TripAdvisor reviews of Ray's tours.
Which surely takes like 2 minutes.
Yeah. And he's printed them out. Why?
Maybe he's got an English to like
Asian languages, he says.
Simplified. Yeah, that's true. He does say it's in a variety of Asian languages.
There's some stuff in this episode to avoid being problematic. And at the same time, some stuff that shoots straight for it.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to talk about that at the end.
Yeah, okay. Chandra has... This is going on. Chandra has met Ray...
Wait, well, you missed the best thing that Ray says. He says that he doesn't hold a grudge against the spiders. You've got to admire those webs.
I don't remember him saying that. I was probably writing fucking 10,000 words of notes. Chandra has met Ray before. She calls him a fisherman. She introduced him to her spiders and he said he was never afraid of them. And he says, and I still aren't. I still are not.
I still aren't.
I still aren't afraid of these spiders. No matter what they've done to my wives. Byron comes in a wetsuit freaking out, shouting, babe, you've got to do something. Blaming Chandra for something that's nothing to do with her. They all run out to the beach and someone's finned a shark. Put a pin.
Which, yeah. Oh.
So back at the station, Mike says he's alerted the Ministry for Primary Industries. Everyone's like, oh, there'll be no Clelland. The fisheries officer, as if the fucking Ministry for Primary Industries is just fucking no Clelland.
Especially
if you don't remember from the fisheries episode.
Especially like if someone is hunting a protected species.
I'll just call up the ministry. Hey Noel, how are you? Ray and Buchanan the lawyer are in.
But you know Raz.
Yeah.
It actually only got made illegal to remove the fins and discard the body into the sea in 2014.
Yes. It was topical.
It was topical.
Just
saying. Just saying, maybe put a pin in it.
Ray and Buchanan, the lawyer, and Ray says he has met Chandra a couple of times and he took photos of her spiders, Phoebe, Cindy, and Anushka for the model maker to make his giant fake spider. He also says he did nothing to harm Debbie and he's weird about it. So he says it weird. He's like, I did nothing to harm her.
I did nothing to harm her. Wink. It's not a wink. Don't put a pin in it. I'm sorry.
But, like, I don't even think that he knows what happened.
No. But he's just a shifty guy.
He's so shifty, and he didn't do it, and he wasn't part of it.
Honestly, this is a great insight into the justice system, though, because people who are a bit shifty.
Yeah, people who are a bit shifty
done
get
done for crimes all the time.
They do.
Every court in the country would convict him.
Oh, absolutely. It was him.
Absolutely. But he didn't do anything. Well, you know, mate, who could say?
I mean, if this was a real legal situation, they would put Ray away for the fighting the liquor license officer. Something like that. They would like dig something else up and be like, all right, well, you're off to the big house anyway. Mike goes to get his third coffee of the episode from the cafe by the river and runs into Nicole and Gifford, who we know don't know each other, eating breakfast together. Nicole freaks.
What's the soup today? Someone says.
No, Nicole freaks out and Gifford is chill and keeps eating his seafood chowder, which is just, it's like a grey soup with a one mussel shell in the middle.
My mom loves seafood chowder, and it's always looked like the least appealing thing to me.
It's not something that comes up very much here, is it?
Seafood chowder and mince on toast. Whenever you can get that at a restaurant, my Deirdre is all over it.
I don't think I've ever seen mince on toast for sale except at Ravenhill.
We can't talk about Ravenhill.
Why? Because it's going on too long.
Because we got to get up to Nicole's cloak.
I thought you were like, oh, I've like signed an NDA about what went down in Ravenhill Cafe. Oh, that's so weird that you used to work at a cafe.
And they would reheat the crepes and the boiled eggs.
Oh, God.
Sometimes they wouldn't reheat them and people would yell at me.
And they had like $9 milkshakes or something, eh?
The milkshakes were actually pretty good. Pretty much anything from the cafe part was legit. And it was just the restaurant stuff that would kind of go either way.
God, like going down to see Amelia at Ravenhill and being like, oh, get a milkshake. And then you're like 20, you just spend like your money for the whole week on a milkshake. Which was fine. Nicole freaks out. No, that's after that. No, Nicole gets in Mike's car and tells him to start driving.
Which is a terrible decision for the scene because it means the whole thing's done in kind of slightly awkward ADR.
Yeah. She confesses that she went down to sabotage the spider site as part of a plan with Gifford against Ray's tours. But when she got there, intending to cut the rope on the spider, Debbie was already dead. She saw someone on quad bike but found out later it wasn't Gifford because he couldn't come because he had sugar in his petrol tank.
She's also wearing this incredible like cloak.
Celtic cloak when she's on the horse. I was like, in this scene she's wearing like a fuchsia silk shirt. Episode, Nicole, Gina, and Kristen are all wearing silk shirts.
I mean, it was 2016. That shit was cool.
When I worked in an office, I was wearing a silk shirt. So it wasn't, I mean, it was.
But now the cost of living has gone so high, I'd kill for silk these days.
I mean, these days I like kind of have more money than I had then.
Less but, silk though.
There's nowhere to go.
True.
I was thinking about buying new makeup and I was like, am I ever going to go anywhere ever again? It's so weird. Like every time like someone's like, oh, can you like come to this thing in like a couple of months? Or can you like speak at this festival or whatever? I don't think it's going to happen ever. The things I agree to in my life, I can't perceive as real. Oh no.
Yeah. We'll go.
Breen has done the translations.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Everything's okay.
Breen has done the translations of the reviews of Ray's tours on TripAdvisor. They all praise the cuisine. Ray knew that Chandra was diabetic. Chandra's funding got cut off 3 months ago, which Kristen finds out from a text from her friend. So she was being self-funded by the Venom sales. So they theorize that maybe she wanted to create hysteria about spider bites to generate sales of anti-venom.
Yeah, I don't understand who's buying all this, like, hardcore anti-venom. Probably other researchers, I would guess.
Mike and Jared go for a run for 6.5 minutes. Mike's dying. Mike gets the newspaper out of his letterbox and Byron is on the front cover mourning a shark. Mike has some galaxy brain moments about the shark finning and the special lunch on Ray's tours.
But part of his flashback is to the tour before the crime happened.
And part of the flashback is a zoomed in shot of the mussel in the seafood shelter.
Yeah.
It's a great montage. It's like poo, poo, poo.
Yeah, it's very, very like BBC Sherlock.
Ray and Buchanan are back down the station. Ray knew about the shark fin soup Debbie was serving on the tours, but he wanted nothing to do with it. When he ran
I think we ought to be very explicit that the brainwave that Mike had was that the special lunch was shark fin soup.
When he ran the tours, the tourists got fish and chips, nothing more. Debbie got the shark fins from a boat down the beach at daybreak on Tuesdays. He didn't say anything before because he didn't want anything to stop him getting his liquor license back. Fuck.
Fair.
The whole team go down the spider lab. Chandra doesn't want to test the venom to see if it's all still there because that's thousands of spider milkings in the one vial. It turns out to be saline in there. It's not.
Sorry, just the phrase thousands of spider.
Amazing. Even typing it, I was like, what the fuck? What the fuck is my life? Breen is outside, away from the spiders, and he finds a box of needles. Byron is outside with a red quad bike attached to a surf life-saving boat with another finned shark on it. He says, what can we do about this? Mike says, well, Byron, killing people is not the answer. He knew Debbie was diabetic because he was there when Ray was photographing the model spiders. I need to point out that when Ray takes the photos of the spiders, he's like, yeah, girl, work it and stuff.
Come on, girl, show me some leg. All eight of them.
Yeah, he does that. He just says that. So Byron, he took the 15th spider and he sent the notes saying what you're doing in the forest is immoral. He blatted through the forest on
He should have been more specific. I don't know why he was not more specific.
Yeah.
Stop finning
sharks. They didn't know what he meant. When he said stop being immoral, they were like, do you mean like crushing competition?
Yeah, like which of the things?
Which of the like 10 kind of shifty things that we're doing? Yeah, so he blatted through the forest on his surf life-saving quad bike and injected Debbie with the stolen venom and put the spider in her hair, actually. He tried to get in her mouth and he couldn't do it. Breen arrests him and he says, Byron says, the people who do shark finning, they're the real criminals. But he True. Did a murder.
I mean, they are also the criminal. Not to be like fucking CinemaSins over here or whatever, but I don't understand why he didn't kill the boat people. Not the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he saw her going down to the beach.
Why would you kill the consumer?
He saw her going down to the beach. She didn't
fin the sharks.
He must have seen the boat.
How would he?
And as we know from the Waterfront episode, it's easy to blow up a boat.
Why would he be like, okay, so I'm like morally against this issue. What I need to do is curb demand by taking a hit out on the consumer. That'll affect the supply chain if there's no consumers. Kristen asks Mike how his wife contacted him after she died. And he says,
this bit made me tear up. This bit was beautiful, I thought.
He says she gave him a shopping list before she drowned and said, don't forget this. And then when he looked at it days later, it just said, I love you. Breen thinks there's a spider on him and freaks out.
Oh.
Finn.
Pretty good episode. Finn. Jesus. Fuck.
I didn't think of it before he said it.
Oh, okay. Now it's time for Broken Wood Logs On.
Okay. Broken Wood Logs On.
Okay, today we are visiting a blog.
Oh.
Foxessa-foxhome.blogspot.com.
Mm.
Her description says, vulpine, canine, feline, porcine, and equine avatars. Gone to heaven, gone to hell, gone to jail, gone to work, gone to school, gone to lunch, gone to bed, gone to bed.
Wait,
gone
what's
to pee,
happening? What are you
gone
doing?
Gone to earth.
Are you reading
gone,
me a
gone,
porn?
Gone. Fox's earth is blue Gotham City. Shelter sojourns are spent in other, more dangerous locations. This is the blog we're reading today.
What is it? Is it going to be a reveal?
It's called Fox Home. A fox is a wolf that brings flowers. Do you want me to read you the lines of the day at
What's
the top
the
of the
connection?
Page?
What's the connection? It's just a blog that you found on the internet and it's got nothing to do with...
It's a blog post about Broken Wood.
Oh, okay. That's fine then.
But I'm building...
Like, Amelia,
I was
you've
trying
gone
to build...
rogue.
I was trying to build up to it. Do you want to hear the quote of the day?
Sorry, I looked away. My focus slipped for 1 second and you were reading me a poem about foxgloves.
But the past does not exist independently from the present. Indeed, the past is only past because there is a present. Just as I can point to something over there, only because I am here. But nothing is inherently over there or here. In that sense, the past has no content. The past, or more accurately, pastness, is a position. Thus, in no way can we identify the past as past. But we may want to keep in mind that deeds and words are not as distinguishable as often we presume. History does not belong only to its narrators, professional or amateur. While some of us debate what history is or was, others take it into their own hands. Silencing the Past, Power and the Production of History by Michel Rolfe Trullo. Okay, we're ready.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm listening.
This is the context that you needed.
Okay.
Because this is what I saw when I found this blog. And yeah. I was like, this rules. I love Fox Essa. Okay. Saturday, Fox March 27th, 2021. I moved to 2021? New Zealand. Yeah.
Neulich.
I moved to New Zealand after dinner on February 28th. I had no idea I was moving to New Zealand, particularly as I was already living in New Orleans due to NOLA Reconnect 2. But I opened the first season of Brokenwood Mysteries then and went for the second episode on March 1st. And there I've been all month, every night after dinner. What follows are snapshots of how that happened while it happened.
They went on a mind journey.
Mind journey to New Zealand.
Some of us are just in New Zealand.
Full emphasis
full
on
of fucking time. Can't leave.
Is on snapshots.
Yeah. Okay.
This is a fresh set of eyes from an entirely different part of the world, landing upon a 7-year-old television series purely by the happen chance of subscribing to Acorn TV.
We can't get that here.
You should try a VPN. Highly recommend Acorn TV if your computer is living in the UK.
That I if your computer's on a mind journey to the UK.
Yeah.
I went on Acorn TV the other day when I was having my problems. And it like had an error, and then it was like go back to WordPress main. I was like, is Acorn TV hosted on WordPress?
I'm not shocked at all. I love that. That's so Acorn TV.
Oh my
That's
god,
beautiful.
Amelia, there is a publishing, a book publisher in New Zealand whose site is hosted on Blogspot.
I love that.
It's like it's one of those ones where they like you know they've changed all the HTML so you can't see it, and then like you like check the source code or something.
Blogspot. So this person has written up, has done a write-up for 6 seasons of the show.
Oh,
I think
my
we just read through the first 3.
Did we?
And I thought it might be nice to kind of revisit it as we do each season.
Oh, okay. I thought you said that you just read out the first 3.
No.
I was like, I wasn't listening. I
Season
didn't realize
one.
The poem was...
No.
Okay, I'm
season
ready.
Let me center myself. Season 1, 2014, New Zealand. The series centers Senior, title of address at the police station, Mike Shepherd, a detective in possession of the, by now, overly familiar shtick of the quirky detective. He's got a music genre fixation. Mike's his country. Rebus's a certain subset of 1960s rock, Bosch's is jazz, etc. Coupled with love of good wine instead of whiskey, scotch, Irish or beer. He's got the out-of-date car, the auto that auto aficionados
I thought
admire.
You were going to say autoimmune disease.
He's got psoriatic arthritis. That's why I relate to it. That's why me and Mike are both so... Like, we're on the same page. He's
You're
got
on
a
the
that
spectrum.
He's got the out of date car that auto aficionados admire, a 1971 Holden Kingswood, but which notably does not impress Detective Kristen Sims and Detective Constable Breen. Mike's distinctly much younger, fitter, more attractive, and more down to earth second and thirds. They don't like country music either. Mike's an out of shape, rumpled mess with multiple ex wives. Who most women still find very attractive.
Yeah, there we go.
Plus, he has a dislike of contemporary technology. He's zaddy. Just off the top of one's head, how many variations on this detective character can I come up with in 60 seconds? Starting with Rebus and Longmire and Vera Stanhope, though Sam's the music and ex-wives, but she does like her scotch.
I don't know who Rebus is.
I would love to see a Vera... Sorry, I just read Midsummer Murders on the page. I would never compare Brokenwood to Midsummer Murders. A Vera Brokenwood crossover, please.
I don't know who Rebus is, so I'm just imagining Reba.
Even Midsummer Murders Barnaby, when it comes to tech. Such a contrast with CBC's Murdoch's Mysteries. Murdoch's fascination with all new technology. And then they've inserted here a map that has Broken Wood filming locations.
Oh.
BM has beautiful, soothing, oh-so-gazable rural locations that one never gets impatient seeing. Shot in the series' location in New Zealand's Greater Auckland region, North Island.
I love including it. I love it when Americans, like, they know something about New Zealand and it's that there's a North and South Island. I've met so many Americans in my life. They're like, oh, you're from New Zealand, North or South Island. It's like so weird to us because we don't like to say that.
It's not really the prime conceptualization of place. No, here.
It's not.
Auckland and the rest, that's how I think of it. including Helensville, whose post office stands in for Brokenwood's small but astonishingly resourced with tech and manpower, in brackets, unexplained police station.
Don't this do that to
is on, she's on this page, same page as us,
she's
I think.
She's not, she's too onto the troop of normie cops.
I know.
Leave them alone. Oh, did you notice in this episode where, when Breen, like, takes the specimen bag of the horse shit, Mike is like, we'll get Soko onto this. It's like, who are they? Who's Soko?
The closest city, Hamilton, is about 2.5 hours by car from the fictional Brokenwood. I don't.
What? That's not right.
Hamilton is a very minor, though significant player in Brokenwood life. They referred to constantly as a comparison to tiny, population 5,000, Brokenwood, as well as a destination. But we never break screen wall and go there ourselves.
Yeah, she means Riverstone, right?
I guess so. But I don't know how she knows about Hamilton then.
She's researching where Helensville is.
True.
But that's 2.5 hours to Auckland from Brokenwood. From the wine episode.
Oh my god. The post after this one is about Lil Nas X Montero.
Oh.
And the post before it is a reading and listening Black Nerddom. I love Fox Essa. Okay, you ready for season 2?
Yes.
Gotten through season 2, 2015, into season 3, 2016. Now, got a kick from the good-natured poking of fun at the crazy fans of the Lord of the Rings franchise who come to Brokenwood to tour Peter Jackson's Middle Earth. That this isn't possible is part of the plot. Especially the big felt and foam spider in the first ep, the Black Widower. Impressed also by its pro-environmental and endangered species protection message for spiders, freshwater sharks, and
it's not freshwater,
that's okay.
It's because you wouldn't know that little bit of water goes into the sea at Bethel's.
Yeah. Oh.
Tearing it.
I didn't realize that would be. Everything in New Zealand is just ocean.
Hey, there's some lakes. There's one. You know what? Like I was thinking about is that you know how in Auckland we don't have a river, really.
Yes.
I was like just thinking about that in the summer that like these people in other places like grew up with like doing water sports on the lake or like hanging out down the lake and we. Or, like, learning how to be safe, like, at swimming in a river. Like, oh, we don't have that.
Yeah, they paved the beach. Them in Auckland.
Pave the rivers.
Like, we don't put up need a Westfield. Could we make this a main road, maybe?
Yeah. Go the foe.
And the forests and the fragile habitats of shorelines. So the next bit has some information about the final episode. Do you want me to read it out or are you...
Oh, censor it. Censor it.
It doesn't have spoilers.
Okay.
It doesn't have mystery spoilers.
Well, then it's build-ups like, then.
Yeah. It only has spoilers about Mike's home life. Is that okay?
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Another clever episode of season 3 was the Christmas episode, A Merry Bloody Christmas, which had seasonal touching bits by Mike as to the belief in Santa as real. It turns out his nephew is an adult Down syndrome person who receives tremendous joy from Santa. True joy, not commercial, not made up or delusional, but true joy. This is the season the series revealed itself more clever in its writing than might perhaps be expected from the previous seasons. And sensitive too, but never ever sentimental, which isn't possible even for Mike. who seems to possess a bit of a second sight and a romantic viewpoint due to his younger, thus more cynical and down-to-earth, Simpson brain.
Oh. That's nice.
It's very nice. I just thought maybe, you know, because some of this is a bit funny, but some of it's nice, and I like it a lot.
Some of it's nice, and I like it. Amelia Berry.
This was, honestly, I spent so long looking for the Brokenwood logs on this week, and I kept finding fake news websites. So not fake news as in, like, you know, a vaccine makes your skin fall off or whatever. Fake news as in, like, stolen bits of news run through
like
a thesaurus app.
Yeah, this happens every week with the New Zealand bestsellers. That's how I got called Rebecca OK Riley, which I loved.
I really like that. But they kept calling New Zealand green country in inverted commas,
yes,
which I found
green
really
green country.
This
is what could have been if the weed referendum had passed.
I think they mostly seemed like they were German TV listings about the show that had been turned into like a news.
Yeah, news.
And so I was very pleased when I found this great blog.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's great. Thank you, Foxy, sir.
Yeah. Good shit. All right. You can find me on... Sorry that this episode's late. I think we kind of already...
You know, we'll just leave in why so the listeners can get to know us a bit more.
Yeah, there was illness and technology failure.
Yeah,
if I could have done it sooner, I would have done it. You can find me on Twitter at Mealy_worm.
Is that it?
Yeah, and then you do your bit, and then tell
you
people.
You can find me on Instagram. I'm on Instagram at the moment because people keep finding me on Twitter at Etika, the German supermarket, .k.riley. And you can find the podcast at Frog and Gina.
Please tell your friends to listen because it's a lot of fun and hijinks.
We love doing the podcast.
We love to do it.
The podcast is my favorite thing that I do. And it gets so much less attention than the other stuff, which sometimes kind of sucks.
Fuck being a novelist. It's all about podcasting now. Rate us five stars on your podcast.
Tell your friends. If anyone messaged you being like, do you know where you can buy this book? It's sold out. Be like, you know what? Don't buy the book. Listen to the podcast.
Don't buy the book Greta and Velden by Rebecca K. Riley. Listen to the podcast again.
Just listen to it over and over again.
Oh, I love you. Bye.
Oh, it's
I stole
Mike's...
that off Adam Buxton. I can't do that.
I thought you were quoting Mike's shopping list from his drowned wife.
Love you, Mike.
Love you. Bye.
Love you, Mike. Get some eggs. I want to make a frittata.
I had an egg yesterday at Raven Hill, but it was reheated.
What do you call this Mickey Mouse house of a town?
Brokenwood. It's called Brokenwood.